Chapter 169. A kiss is not always a kiss. When is a kiss not a kiss? Cole remembers. He thinks as he watches pride brush the passion of stars, hair. He runs his hands, old and tired, through her hair, gentle and careful and so full of love that he doesn't understand what to do with it. He watches as pride gently lifts her head in his hands off of his thigh, sliding a pillow underneath. Careful, gentle, waiting to make sure that she doesn't wake, that her head doesn't slide before he moves away. She has not been sleeping. Cole hasn't been either, but he doesn't sleep the same way they do. He sleeps only to find them in the fade. When is a kiss not a kiss? Pride sang soft songs to her. Soft songs, even though he does not like to sing very much. But for her, he does it. Because he loves her, here, now. So much it hurts, and he didn't remember that it could hurt this way. It's so real. Cole watches. Unseen, unknown, unnoticed, unforgotten, unreal. She has not slept well since adamant. Cole slides into her dreams, like a knife, like a kiss. The Iron Bull knows a lot about kissing, but he doesn't seem to understand a kiss. Not as well as she does. Not as well as Cole thinks he's learning to. He can always find her in dreams. She is bright, the passion of. Like stars, many stars, thousands, coming together, moving very fast. He does not show himself in her dream. She doesn't need him in this one. It is a good dream. Like this, as he is, like this, he could almost slip. Slide his intangible fingers into the spine of her songs and become becoming. Cole does it, lining up his self to her song, her multitude of songs that are sweeter and sadder than lyrium, but so much younger and newer. And for a little, he thinks he understands, or understands in the way only spirits can, the passion of, and what it is to be the passion of. It could be so easy to forget. Cole slips out and away from her dream and waits on the edges for nightmares, knives making the wall of Hala she so desperately wants. When is a kiss not a kiss? Llewellyn lands face first in a pile of hay with a soft grunt, sprawled limbs in lazy sunlight, and a few minutes later, her face goes slack in sleep. Her starfished limbs slowly curl up, and she nuzzles her face into the hay, soft little humming sounds coming from her that aren't quite snores as she sleeps. Blackwell shakes his head. It's a miracle she doesn't get sicker more often. He continues to turn the block of wood over in his hands. A new block. A new start. That's what he's decided. She has forgiven him. Welcomed him. Saved him. Loved him. He is loyal to her. To this inquisition of hers. He thinks of the carefully carved Hala. Crude and plain. But made with love. He keeps it upstairs. With his precious few belongings. Blackwall turns the wood over in his hands. Griffins are for... They aren't for him. Griffins aren't him. Griffins aren't who he was, is, will be. Griffins were for guilt. Griffins were for atonement. Mabari and bears and horses and dragons he makes aplenty for the children. The shape of the Hala takes form in his mind. Not a replica of the one given with care. A companion. A matching sort. A doe. Blackwall sits with the new block of wood and takes his knife to it. Slowly. He wants to do it slowly. Carefully. each chip of wood and shaving made with tenderness that he needs to find in himself again. Dedicated to her, to this, to what she's given form. A newborn chance. "Forgive me," Llewellyn says, and Dorian looks at her with something wild and angry and tired and frightened in his eyes, something that shuts down hard and cold like a door, like a fortress gate. Dorian looks away, and the man with Dorian's face should scare her. Magister, Magister, Magister! But he doesn't. He is nothing to her. Dorian is everything. Selfish, small, growing parts of her snap with lightning and frost. Dorian is hers, not his. Dorian is her clan, her Lethalon, hers. He doesn't know Dorian like she does. He doesn't love Dorian like she does. Why should Dorian be afraid of him? Other parts, smaller parts, the parts that have been trained by the Keeper over the years, away from that snapping thing inside of her, say, family is important. Kin is important. Blood is important. Am I not blood? Llewellyn slips out and to the back, trying to pull herself out of what Mother Giselle has inadvertently brought her into. A trap, an attack where none was expected. Oh, how poorly this was thought out. Why didn't she know better? Dorian, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Ir Abalas, Dorian. Ma nu venin telvir. I should have listened. The words scald and burn, and it's like scars are being opened, scabs ripped up to reveal the sick and festering skin underneath, oozing, putrid. Dorian wants to leave. Blood, Llewellyn thinks. He must stay. It must not fester any longer, she thinks. She did this to him. She will do her best to fix it. Llewellyn knows what it's like to spend your life not knowing. "You aren't dressed," Dorian says. "No," Llewellyn says, as placid and peaceful as a bowl of water that's been left to sit. Dorian turns to Bull. "Why is she not dressed?"
"Probably because she doesn't want to be dressed. Are you embracing the no-shirts movement, boss? No offense, but I don't think you're quite sturdy enough for that. Also, you might give someone a heart attack if you just walk around like that."
Dorian momentarily goes cross-eyed at the thought of Llewellyn prancing around Skyhold without a shirt on. It's bad enough she can only be asked to wear proper shoes with soles half the time, and only if someone is actively paying attention to her. Someone, Dorian would place good money on Cassandra or Cullen, would die, and bring a good portion of Skyhold down with them. "No," Llewellyn repeats, twisting around in Bull's bed to bring the covers up around her. "Most children leave this stage by your age," Dorian says, and Llewellyn just looks at him. "The one word stage, I mean." Llewellyn considers something. Maybe the position of the sun, the non-existent thread count of Bull's sheets, the stone walls, or maybe even just dust, for a moment before saying, "Maybe." Dorian pinches the bridge of his nose. "Kafus, woman, how did your parents deal with you?" Llewellyn wrinkles her nose at him and flops down, face first, onto Bull's mattress, disappearing from view as she burrows. "What did you do to her?" Dorian asks, because he's rapidly running out of things to say. Bull shrugs.
"Woke up. She was there, and I got kicked out of bed."
Dorian imagines Llewellyn kicking Bull out of anything, and snorts.
"I hope you don't actually need her to do shit today. I think she's in a lazy mood."
Bull says, and Dorian sighs. She has a fitting. Dorian closes his eyes.
No!
Llewellyn's voice is muffled, and Dorian, very nobly, he might add, does not give her a little zap of lightning for it. The look Bull is giving him says he's not impressed with Dorian's display of restraint. Let's get this nonsense over with, darling. Please, for me. I don't get to drink until you do. How is that fair to me? Dorian wheedles, approaching the bed and guesses at what part might be her head and patting it.
That's her ass.
How do you even know? Bull grunts. Dorian moves his hand to the other end, raising his eyebrow at Bull, who nods. Dorian resumes petting.
You could stand to be sober more, Llewellyn says.
Ah, so she speaks, Dorian teases. Also, I'm plenty sober, but if you expect me to deal with tailors who work for de fair, you can't expect me to go in there without a light buzz to keep me sane.
No, you can't get pissed for your fitting, Bull says, when the silence starts to stretch. And no, I'm not helping you get out of this.
Llewellyn whines, reminding Dorian of a dog. If you go in now and behave, I'm sure they'll let you stay for Cullen's fitting, Dorian says. And he was mostly saving this tidbit so the commander could save face. But desperate times and such. The room goes still. Llewellyn's head slowly emerges and she squints at him.
You're not playing with me?
No. Llewellyn puts her face down, and Dorian snorts, because really, who even thinks like that?
I'm not the only one getting fitted today.
They figured they should get the worst two out of the way first. Llewellyn suddenly springs up, and Dorian doesn't know how she manages to stand it, being naked in a fucking mountain fortress, and hops down from the bed. It speaks volumes that he doesn't even blink with a face full of naked elf.
Okay, she says, but only because Cullen might need my support.
Cullen will most likely not need her particular brand of support. Cullen might even blame Dorian for this. Dorian doesn't care. It will be glorious. Bull steps aside as Llewellyn walks up to the door, and Dorian just barely manages to catch her around the waist before she walks out into the castle in all her elven glory. Dorian glares at Bull, who just shrugs and grins, as Dorian yanks a sheet off the bed and wraps it around her.
You are all terrible people. I'm not terrible. I'm terrific. Varric said so.
And what have we said about listening to what Varric says?